How are you doing, Family of Hope? You're looking good. Hey, I have a special guest here today. He was a roommate of mine in college. He's sitting right back there, and I see him. Frank Potter and his good wife, Lisa. Would you just make him feel welcome? Wow. It's a miracle that he's in the family of God. I'll just tell you that. Just every time I see him, my heart just goes, wow. There's hope for all of us. We're continuing our series called The Royals, based on Jesus' emphasis on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, and they're synonymous, are in the New Testament 126 times. Jesus talked about it all the time. And if you weren't here last week, we encourage you to pick up the message online because it's such a foundational message. You'll learn that the kingdom of God was fundamental to Jesus' teaching and is calling us into a relationship with God. You'll find that he taught that message, and the kingdom of God has three aspects, three elements: the presence of God, the authority of God, and the power of God. When those three are recognized, the kingdom of God is present. And then, who he taught that message to? He taught that message to common people, that he was the king of the kingdom and that he invited you, me, all of us into his family, which means everyone has a royal calling, that he sees more in you than you really see in yourself. And last week we talked about how he asks us every day to pray about the kingdom of God. It's in the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, right? It's in the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to invite the kingdom of God every day. And I want you to be passionate. Well, let me rephrase that. Jesus wants you to be passionate about your pursuit of the kingdom of God. This is not the kind of day to go, okay, sarah, 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 kick back. Wonder what Scott's going to teach today. Wonder if he's going to be any good today. It's not that kind of day. This is a lean in, passionately pursue the kingdom kind of day. Jesus has an interesting exhortation, encouragement that he gives to us, found in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 22. And it's to just press in with intensity. He says these words to us in Matthew 11. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven, synonymous with the kingdom of God, suffers violence. What's that about? The kingdom of God is suffering violence, and violent people take it by force. What does that mean? The kingdom of God is a place of violence? I don't think so. So I have in your study guide, if you've pulled it out already, and if you haven't, pull it out now, because this will help you to understand what Jesus is saying in this verse. We have the Amplified Version, which gives us a little insight into the original languages, the Greek in this case. And here's what the Amplified Version gives us as it expands this thought. It says, from the days of John the Baptist till the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force, watch this, as a precious prize. Everybody give me a precious prize. Come on, talk to me. Precious prize. That's what the kingdom is. And you're to seek it, watch this, with ardent zeal. That's zeal on steroids. Come on, give me a good zeal. No. Give it to me like you got some of it. You can't zeal. Now give me a good zeal. Because that's the passion. He's calling us to do that with intense exertion. Lean in, front of your seat. I brought with me a sword that hangs in my office, just in case you ever visit me. It's a replica sword from a movie. Maybe you recognize it. From the movie, anyone? Braveheart. And engraved on the sword are the words that William Wallace said, every man dies, not every man really lives. And then you remember, he leads his army, and the crazy Scotsmen are coming across, and they are all in, and they're going for it. That's what Jesus is teaching in Matthew 11, that the kingdom of God has been besieged because people are understanding that God sees more in them than they see in themselves. They see that God looks at them and says, you are a beloved daughter of the Most High God. You have a royal calling. And they started to pick up on that, and they besieged the message of the kingdom. And then he encourages us to do the same thing. This is not a lay-back kind of message. This is a lean-in. I am encouraging you to go for it. Come on, give me a good go for it. Yeah, come on, give it to your neighbor right now. Go for it. This is an ardent zeal. This is a passionate pursuit of the kingdom of God. There should be in your heart, as this revelation grows, a new passion for Jesus, a new passion for what he can do in your life, and a calling forward. Remember last week we talked from Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father, and he teaches us to pray, Our Father, that we're part of that family, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. To be inviting. How often should we pray that kind of prayer? That's good. You remember that? Because it's a daily kind of prayer. Whether you pray the Our Father or you pray the concepts of that prayer, every day you should be inviting the kingdom of God into your life. Every day you should be passionately pursuing. Every day you should be going for it. Now, a few verses down in Matthew chapter 6, and if you have a Bible, open it up or get it up on your device. A paper Bible may help you today because I read the Bible every way I can. I have it on my phone, my computer, my iPad. I like to read it in the paper because I can make connection between verses. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to make some connection between verses. And in Matthew chapter 6, there's a very well-known verse. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've memorized it at some time. Has anyone ever heard the verse, seek first the kingdom of heaven? Ever heard that verse? Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And what he's doing is saying, it's not casual. There has to be a pursuit. The violent, the zealous are pressing into the kingdom of God. Seek God's kingdom first. So he's teaching us to seek, right? That's something we do actively. First, the kingdom of God. First. Now, this verse, it's such an important verse, begins with a word. If you got your study guide, I want you to look at it. What does this verse start with? Are you afraid to say it? It's not that hard. It begins with, yeah, it's true. And every time you see the word but, you should think as you study the scriptures. Why is that there? Because it's a connecting word, right? And is a connecting word. Therefore is a connecting word. And every verse in the Bible is connected to a paragraph. It's connected to the verses around it. And to understand the truth, you look beyond the one verse. You may have memorized this verse. In fact, this is the kind of verse I encourage people to memorize. But seek you first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But remember the but. It's connected to the paragraphs around it because the words around it have what I'm going to call for this message, pretenders to the throne. We're seeking first the kingdom, but there are some things, some attitudes, some actions, some priorities that want to pretend to seize the throne of your life. This verse is found in a series of verses. That's why it's good if your Bible is open. And the first pretender to the throne that we're going to talk about, and Jesus gives it to us, the first one is worry. Now, somebody here needs this. Just let that sink in. Because here's Jesus' message. Do not worry. I was going to say, does anybody know somebody that needs this? Don't put your hand up. Don't put your hand up. I repented of that. But there's people in this room that need to hear. And here's Jesus. Watch this. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. Give me a good do not worry. Now give it to your neighbor. Go ahead. Give it to your neighbor. They may be the one. They may be the one that needs it. Don't worry. And then he tells us in verse 27 how useless it is to worry. He literally says in verse 27, you can't change anything by worry. Now, we're not condemning anyone. Let's just be honest. How many of us have at some time in our life worried? So all of us are included in this. And he says, you can't change anything. And why is it such a big issue? Listen carefully. Worry is a transpositional sin. Transpositional sin, what is that? That goes right back to the story of Genesis when Adam and Eve are in the garden. They're walking with God every day. He is the center of their world. He is the king. He is the king. He is God. Then there is a voice that comes in that creates doubt, and they transpose. They took God off the throne, and they put this weird voice of the enemy on the throne, and they put themselves on the throne, and that's what led them down to the source of destruction. You transpose. That's what worry does. Worry says, maybe God is not taking good enough care of you. It transposes. It's a pretender to the throne. When you're supposed to be seeking first the kingdom of God, worry comes and says, no, 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 maybe God isn't on, maybe you should be on the throne because you got some big issues. And there's something in us that wants to be on the throne. And as soon as we get on the throne, we know what a mess we are. That's why we worry. Because we know what I'm facing is bigger than I can handle. Therefore, I worry. Right? So worry usurps the throne, pretends to be on the throne, and then causes you to worry because you can't handle the stuff that you're surrounded by. Faith comes and says the actual opposite. Faith comes and says, as you seek first the kingdom of God, no, 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 worry is not allowed on the throne of my life. I'm going to make sure the king stays on my throne. I'm going to make sure that God is at the center of my soul. I'm going to make sure he is the king of my life. Because when he's at the king of my life, worry says everything is a mess. When you know that God is at the center of your soul, everything is going to be okay. That's trust. That's trust. That's trust. Everything is going to be okay. So when you wake up in the middle of the night and you are filled with worry, just understand this. Worry has crept onto the throne of your life. What's the solution? Seek first the kingdom of God and go, oh, no, 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 no. God is on the throne of my life. Everything is going to be okay. Somebody say, everything is going to be okay. Or you could say amen too. Either one works. Pretenders to the throne. Now, as he teaches in this section, he not only teaches that worry is trying to seize this. That's why this verse, but seek first the kingdom of God, is in the midst of that. He says there's certain things that will try to squeeze in, and I've given it a theological title there. It's stuff. Stuff is a huge pretender to the throne. Notice in this section of Scripture, Jesus says, what I really want you not to focus on is what you'll eat, that's stuff. What you'll drink, that's stuff. What you'll wear, that's stuff. Because stuff is a pretender to the throne. Stuff, we live in a culture that is filled with the pursuit of stuff. Do you know why? Because when God is not at the center of your soul, where do you find your value? You find it in stuff. If I have the right car, I'm valued. If I live in the right neighborhood, I must be valuable. If I went to the right school, I must be valuable. That is the stuff that gives us value. But what is it? It's a usurper to the throne. We are so possessed with stuff in our culture that we have to pay people to keep our stuff and we never see it. I grew up, there was no storage place. Now there's a storage place everywhere. And you probably have some stuff in it. And let me tell you this, it's okay to have stuff. Just don't let stuff have you. That's when it's a usurper. That's when, if it is giving you value, and that's something you have to work out in your own heart, is my value coming from stuff? Because as you seek first the kingdom of God, get this a little closer. As you seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom, you understand that your value doesn't come from the stuff you own. Your value comes from the fact that the King of the kingdom has adopted you into his family, and you are his daughter, and you are his son. And he loves you. That's why people were storming the kingdom. Because Jesus said this to very low socioeconomic people. They got it. It's a little harder for materialistic people to get it. But I just want to raise the issue that stuff is a usurper of the throne. And we can't let that stuff creep into our soul. Then as he finishes chapter 6, he begins chapter 7, and just as a reminder to some and maybe new to others, that when Jesus was speaking this message, when he was giving this teaching, there was nobody that said, we're now in chapter 7. He's talking, but seek first the kingdom of God. And a few lines later, he's talking about the third pretender to the throne. People. And he says it like this, beginning of chapter 7. Judge not, so you won't be judged. And then he shows us the fallacy of judging, because you may have a plank in your eye while someone else has a speck in their eye. What he's saying is, don't let people, in the same flow, don't let people distract you from the kingdom. And they love to do it. Here's the last time you had a fight with somebody, or maybe this morning, it's because judgment was involved. You took your eyes off the prize for a moment, and you got it on somebody else, and you judged their motives, and you judged their actions, and you judged everything about it. People usurp the throne. It can be good or bad. Sometimes we read this verse and we think, well, it's judging people in a bad way. Like, bro, you got a lot of issues. I'm doing so good. In fact, just look at how much above you I am. Meanwhile, this teaching is, God is trying to work something in my life. He wants to work on my plank. It also can be the opposite way. So I just want to show you this. Judging people can also be, man, you're awesome. You're my hero. When I grow up, I want to be like you. So we have idolatry of personality. That's alive in our culture and society. Judging people does that. It allows people and personalities to climb onto the throne. And when that happens, we can, because they help us or because they hurt us, we've lost our focus of the kingdom because we're busy judging people. The solution is, I'll tell you this, the solution to the fight in your house is actually, the secret of getting stuff is, what's he say? Seek first the kingdom of God and what? All these things. Actually, this is the key to everything. These are distractions. These are pulling your attention. Worry about this. This stuff is important. This person is really messed up. When we get together in church, it's not about you working on your neighbor. It's about you passionately pursuing the kingdom of God and working on yourself. I'm the pastor, but I'm not working on the congregation. I'm working on myself, and I'm just letting you along for the journey. I'm working on my plank. So what he's saying is, don't let people, and people get into fights in the church. They get into disagreements in the church. They get mad at the church because they've stopped seeking first the kingdom, and they've got down here with people, and people have pressed their way onto the throne. And at some point, we've got to say, excuse me, Jesus needs to get back on the throne. We need to let him be the king of the church. And let those people work out their issues, and you work on your issues. Let them work on their speck while you work on your plank, but let that work out. So after teaching this, seeking first, passionately pursuing the kingdom of God, and teaching us about these pretenders to the throne, he comes back to another very well-known verse. Maybe you've heard this verse before. Have you ever heard the verse that says, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open? How many have heard that verse before? So that's another great verse to memorize. Ask, seek, knock. Now, just let me point this out almost parenthetically. I'm talking about passionately pursuing the kingdom of God. Just notice that these are words that increase intensity. Just get that. So if I asked you for $20, that would be one level. If you didn't give it to me and I started seeking for $20, would you agree my intensity level has gone up? If I started knocking you for $20, there are levels of intensity. Now the key is, watch, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it. The real key is wondering, what the it is. And people have filled in that blank with a lot of things. Lord, thank you for that verse. I'm just claiming that verse. I am asking for my new Cadillac right now. It's the it that I want. Lord, thank you. I am praying, Lord. I'm praying for that it. I am praying, Lord, for my that new house, God. I'm asking. It says ask. I'm asking for it. Lord, I'm praying for my spouse. Oh, God, they need help. They need help. They need help. Don't pray for a new spouse. That's not a good prayer. Amen? If your spouse didn't say amen, I'd be worried right now. I'd just be worried about that right now. Get this. Get the flow of this. Let me connect the dots. The it is, come on, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. The kingdom of God, which is the key to everything. So we don't let these pretenders come in and distract us. We ask, like Jesus taught us last week, every day we're saying, let the beauty and the wonder and the majesty and the power and the presence of the kingdom invade my life right here, right now, in this room, before we leave. May the kingdom of God impact your soul and call you to be something more than you think you are. That's what we're asking for. And it's intensifying. Ask. Seek. Knock. So if you have got lackadaisical or kind of cooled off in your spiritual pursuit, here's the call today. Ask God to stir a passion in your heart for the King of the Kingdom, because you need him. Let me tell you how this is currently applying in our lives. And excuse me for the personal story, but it just is to demonstrate the truth of this. In February of this year, our youngest daughter, Charity, was diagnosed with papillary thoracic cancer. And of those three words, the cancer word is the one that hits you. She's our youngest daughter. She's engaged to be married in May. And so we're working through all of those issues, praying, looking for direction, trying to find the right course of action. And she finally has come to a course that she feels healthy with. She has a health plan in place. She's going to have surgery in about 2 weeks. But that can shake your world. So, what do we do in the midst of all of that? And again, I apologize for the personal application, because I know in this room that there are people that are facing equal or greater issues. There's a lady I'm praying with in this church right now, stage 4 cancer. That's a huge issue. If we could pull back the curtain of your life, there's stuff going on. But what do you do in the midst of all of that? You don't let the pretenders to the throne dominate the throne. We will not worry. We will not worry. We will not worry. We're not going to worry about the stuff. We're not going to worry about what people are saying or doing. God is on the throne, and everything is going to be okay. Now, that's not just for us. That's for what you're facing. Things that are out of control. People doing weird stuff. The key to everything is seek first the kingdom. Make sure you just know Jesus is on the throne. Everything is going to be okay. Now, let me just talk to you as a dad for a moment, because Charity's been very hesitant to even talk about this. Because she's concerned that people would treat her differently. So this is her church family. She's in Palmetto. She's at another location right now. But just let me, when you see her, don't treat her differently. She wants that. If you want to just say, hey, I'm praying for you, that's awesome. But don't stop and ask her a million questions. Okay? Don't stop her in the hall and whip out your bottle of anointing oil. She has received prayer, and she will continue to receive prayer for this at the altar of our church with our prayer team. That's what she wants. And if you know or feel that you know of some miraculous undiscovered cure, purple berries from an island nobody knows about in the middle of the South Pacific, don't give that to Charity. If you want to, let somebody know. You can email me, scott@churchofhope.com, as her dad and as her protector. I don't want to just not expose her to all that. And we tell you, she's about 2 weeks from her surgery. So we tell you for a couple of reasons. One is just to solicit your prayers, because our family needs your prayers. But also to tell you, this is how we walk through these issues, guys. We got to know, passionately know, that the kingdom of God is there and we are not going anywhere. This is a go for it moment. It's a moment we just say, charge! It's a moment we go, man, every man dies, but not every man really lives. Every woman dies, but not every woman really lives. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is present, and people with a fervent, passionate zeal get it. And they're discovering it, and they're praying for it every day. So our prayer is that that beautiful, perfect kingdom of God that is filled with health and healing would invade this moment of our lives. Absolutely. But every day we're just going to walk in this truth. He's on the throne. He's the king of the kingdom. And we would simply recommend that to everyone. If you've been far away from the king of the kingdom, Jesus, this is the day for you to come back into the throne room and say, Jesus, I'm getting off the throne. I'm going to let you be my king, my Lord, we call it. I'm going to let you do your work in my life. This is your day to take that step of faith towards him, because you'll find he's the solution. Worry to really teach you that your value doesn't come from what other people are saying about you or think about you, stuff. To not be distracted by what people are saying on television. Get so upset, all worked up. Hey, he's still on the throne. God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. Seek first the kingdom. Don't let transposition take place. Don't let anything else sneak onto the throne, because as long as he's on the throne, everything is going to be okay. Can I get an amen? Everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. So we're going to stand for prayer. Would you stand with me? Our prayer team is going to come, and we're going to close our eyes and we're going to open our hearts. Lord, I'd really like people to hear your voice. That their value doesn't come from stuff or what other people say about them. There is a royal call on your life. You are a daughter of the Most High God. You are in the family, or you could join the family in the next minute. You are a son of the Most High God. Your value comes from God. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. And in this moment, we take a step of faith towards you. From where we are, to receive your grace. And we pray a simple prayer. And I'm going to ask everyone, 100% of us, to pray a prayer that receives God's grace and asks Jesus to be the king of our lives. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to earn it. You simply receive the invitation that he gives to you now. You receive him. People are praying for you right now. And God is pulling. He's pulling on your heart. Here's our simple prayer. We're going to pray it out loud, because God loves to hear your voice. Here's our prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I repent of my sins. Jesus, I receive you as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah, 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 amen. It's a good prayer. So our prayer team is here, and here's the question we'd like you to ask. What is the Holy Spirit saying to me through this message? Maybe worry has been on your throne. You need to get it off. Maybe materialism, and we face that all the time in North America. Maybe people. You've just been distracted by people. You get back to the King of the kingdom. So we're here to pray whatever the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. If you prayed that prayer with me a moment ago, and you're starting or restarting, renewing a relationship with Jesus, it is so important that you come and receive prayer, that the prayer team prays for you. If you need healing, I told you a story last week of a man healed of blindness here at the altar, because God can do that. And nobody gets the credit. Just one of our prayer team. The King gets the credit. Jesus gets the credit. So I'm going to pray one more prayer of just blessing. After that, there's no benediction. If you've been a guest here today, please come next week. We're going to keep going on this series. I'm really enjoying it. Not an amen in the house, but I'm going to keep on preaching. I don't care. I'm really enjoying it. If you are a guest here, you're a VIP, and we'd like you to just visit our VIP room before you leave the property. Maybe after you get prayer, after you get communion. VIP is back on your left-hand side. We'd just like to give you some gifts and get to know you. At the front is communion. If you'd like to receive the bread of the Lord and the cup of the Lord, All you have to do is come forward and think about Jesus. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember that Jesus died on the cross and absorbed all of your sin and all of your shame. He takes it all away. When you give him your life, he gives you his life. That's a good deal. He went into the tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and he's present. The king is in the house. He's here right now. And we celebrate his presence, his authority, and his power, because the kingdom of God is here. So I'm going to bless you. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer or communion. You're just a friend of Jesus. We're here to help you. And we pray the rich blessing of God to rest upon your soul. We pray that Jesus would become more and more understood in your heart. We pray that you would become more and more like Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would do that miracle of transformation. We bless you in the strong name of the resurrected Christ. We bless you in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name, you are very, very blessed. And all of God's people say, amen. Isn't that good? Good day, guys. Want to invite you to come forward for prayer, for communion. We love you. We'll see you. God bless.